والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن أمره كله خير، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا لمؤمن، إن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له. وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله on the most precious gift of Iman, the absolutely perfect, complete and compassionate teachings of the Deen of Islam, the honor of being in the Ummah of Allah's Habib, our beloved Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given us a beautiful and complete understanding of all situations in life and directives as to how to conduct ourselves under all of those circumstances. It also teaches us that all matters, affairs, conditions, situations and hearts are controlled only by Allah Azza wa Jal with His total qudrah and power that reigns supreme over every single particle and atom in this creation. And it is also commanded by that perfect and complete knowledge and wisdom of Allah Ta'ala in all of His decisions that He executes, and none can compel Allah Ta'ala under any situation. For a believer, there is one of two situations that any person goes through: apparently favorable, good health, financial prosperity, in one's personal life, family life, communal life, as an ummah, things are running generally, apparently smoothly. And a mu'min under that condition does not fail by means of pride or arrogance or attributing it to oneself or channeling the given favors of Allah Ta'ala in his disobedience. So he expresses gratitude and shukr by means of the heart, the tongue, and actions by channeling the favors of Allah in his obedience. So a mu'min who enjoys favorable circumstances and expresses gratitude, then that person has passed, and that is far better for that person. On the other hand, second set of situations, a person is afflicted with apparent difficulties, whether it is illness, loss of life of beloved ones, financial constraints and difficulties. What the Ummah is presently going through in many parts of the world, especially the atrocities in Gaza, small little babies being made shaheed, starvation, hunger, horrendous difficulties and atrocities, and Allah has chosen them because of the very fact of their resilience and steadfastness. In Gaza, the home in which there is a shaheed, a martyr, is considered more noble than those homes wherein there isn't. An orphan child whose father passes away as a martyr is given honor and dignity in the general society. On consoling an acquaintance who had lost his sister, her husband, and three young children, the eldest of them 7 years old, 2 weeks ago, the very first word that he uttered, هذا استفاء من الله, that this is a selection and a preference that Allah Ta'ala has given to them over others, that Allah has chosen them for shahada and martyrdom. So a mu'min in apparent difficulties exercise sabr and patience. Crying is not contrary to sabr and patience. Yes, in that difficulty, one is, we do not beg Allah for sabr, because it is tantamount to asking for difficulties. But when the situation comes, then we beg Allah Ta'ala to give steadfastness and patience in that situation, not uttering anything against the will and decree or questioning the will and decree of Allah or becoming despondent from Allah Ta'ala or His decisions. That is something that a mu'min does not do. So in the face of adversity, sabr and patience, for which the least reward is eternity in Jannah. In fact, one of the greatest means of closeness to Allah Ta'ala in tasawwuf and tazkiyah, one of the very high levels which the person connects with Allah Ta'ala, a sign of a strong connection with Allah, is rida bil qada, to be happy with whatever Allah Ta'ala decrees under any and every situation. That is why on hearing good news, a person says, Alhamdulillah, alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. On hearing saddening, difficult news, a person says, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praises be to Allah Ta'ala under every situation. When hadith mentions, a person may be tested by Allah Ta'ala, and one of the most difficult tests is to lose a child, and especially in infancy. And so the angels, according to the command of Allah Ta'ala, takes the life of that child. When they report back to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala asks them, how did my banda, my servant, what did you do? Did you take that which was the real beloved, the liver of my banda, from him, his innocent little child? The angels respond that, Ya Allah, we had no choice, it was your command. Allah Ta'ala asks the angels, but tell me, and Allah knows everything, but to show the virtue of this action, how did my servant respond on receiving this very saddening and difficult news? They say, Subhanallah, O Allah, he praised you and your decision at that very difficult moment. Allah Ta'ala commands the angels that immediately, now and now, construct a beautiful mansion and palace in Jannah. And the name of that palace will be Baytul Hamd, that which was constructed on account of praising Allah Ta'ala under those very difficult circumstances. So there is immense wisdom in the decisions of Allah Ta'ala. And we take a beautiful lesson from an incident from Suratul Kahf, this great surah that we encourage to read in its entirety on the night or day of Jumu'ah, last night or today. Also to read regularly, as well as to memorize the first and last 10 verses at the least of the surah. Many, many benefits for reading Suratul Kahf on the day of Jumu'ah. A person will get a light from one's feet to the heavens, another narration from oneself till Makkah Mukarramah, that will illuminate the way for that person on the day of Qiyamah. The sins of the past week are forgiven. One great benefit, and especially at a time when there are so many trials and tribulations, a mere slip of the tongue, a wrong word said regarding the deen of Allah Ta'ala, can take a person out of Islam without even realizing it. So one great benefit of reading the surah on Jumu'ahs is that Allah Ta'ala protects that person and that person's iman for that entire coming week. Even if one of the greatest challenges on iman were to emerge, that is Dajjal, will emanate from a place called Isfahan in Iran, where he will have many, many followers, and iman will be severely challenged, that person who reads Suratul Kahf on the day of Jumu'ah will be protected from every trial and tribulation, even if Dajjal was to emerge. The one who reads regularly and memorizes the first and last 10 verses of the surah is also guaranteed protection from being affected by the great challenge on iman from Dajjal. The cause of revelation of the surah, when the disbelievers in Makkah Mukarramah saw the rise and the spread of Islam, amongst the many different angles of opposing it and trying to stem the flow and stop the flow of Islam, one was persecution, sometimes temptation, sometimes severe atrocities. One angle that they thought, that they sent two of the emissaries, two of the ambassadors, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayth, Nadhr ibn al-Harith, to go to Medina Munawwara and ask the rabbis of the Jews who had some knowledge of the previous scriptures, we have this man making this claim, how do we test his authenticity? The Jews told them they posed three questions to him. If he answers, he is definitely a Nabi, because nobody in Makkah should have knowledge about the details of these three matters. And if he cannot, then he's an imposter. They come back and the leaders go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and pose these three questions. Number one, tell us about those youth who had left their city a long time ago. And the story was an amazing one, referring to the Ashabul Kahf, the inhabitants of the cave, youngsters who were nurtured in luxury and comfort. When the flame of Iman got into their heart, they were disinherited, they were imprisoned, they were threatened with their lives. And in order to protect the Iman, ran away and took refuge in a cave. And Allah Ta'ala gave them a long sleep, 309 lunar years. So this is answered in the surah. Number two, tell us about that man who traveled the east and the west and conquering those areas, referring to the incident of Dhulqarnain, the great believing king. And third, tell us about the ruh that is in the body of a person at the time of death. It is taken out. And that was answered in Surah Bani Israel, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. So when they posed these three questions, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as per the norm, that I will respond to these tomorrow, anticipating wahi and revelation as would normally come. However, Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach us a lesson that anything regarding the future, always say inshallah. As yet that command had not come, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had omitted saying inshallah. Wahi was delayed for 15 days. The Meccans started taunting. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam anxiously anticipated this wahi, and after 15 days, Allah Ta'ala teaches us this lesson, never say about anything in the future, except that you attach it to Allah's will. Always say inshallah about any matter about the future. And then Allah Ta'ala answers these questions that proves how beloved and truthful Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is as a messenger of Allah Ta'ala. In verses of the surah, within the surah is an incident from which we take lesson that every decision of Allah Ta'ala is filled with immense wisdom. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. We understand it, we don't understand it. The realities will become manifest on the day of Qiyamah, that for a believer it is a win-win situation under all circumstances. To summarize this beautiful story, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the great messenger of his time, on one occasion was delivering a khutbah when somebody asked, who is the most knowledgeable person on this earth? And he correctly said, as the great Nabi and messenger of Allah that I am, Allah Ta'ala wished that he attribute that knowledge to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala said that it is a servant of minds. He has some type of knowledge different to what you possess, knowledge of the Shariat that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam possess. He says that keep on traveling and keep a fish with you in the basket. When you get to the point where the servant of mine is, referring to Sayyidina Khadir alayhi salam, you will see that this fish will jump out of that basket, go into the ocean, and make a pathway behind it as it cuts through the water. That is where you will find the special servant. So Sayyidina Musa Khadir alayhi and his khadim, who later on becomes a great Nabi, the benefits of the company of the pious, Sayyidina Yusha ibn Nun travels with Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. They stop to rest at a certain place. The fish jumps out of the basket into the water, as Allah Ta'ala had told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, who was sleeping at the time. Hazrat Yusha notices this, forgets to mention to Musa alayhi salam when he wakes up, and they carry on traveling. The next day, Musa alayhi salam says that I'm afflicted with hunger, fatigue, bring the food. He then remembers, say that yesterday I'd omitted to tell you. Musa alayhi salam says that is exactly the place we were looking for. And they retrace, فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. Let us read the details of the story from an authentic tafsir within Suratul Kahf. Amazing story. They retrace their footsteps, come back to that place and find a person who is resting with a shawl pulled over his head. Musa alayhi salam makes salam. He responds that who knows about salam in these lands? Who are you? Musa alayhi salam said, Musa. He says, Musa of the Bani Israel. Anyway, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, with humility, requests permission that I would like to stay in your company to learn a special knowledge that Allah had given to you, which I do not possess. Hazrat Khadir alayhi salam immediately says that, look, you have a knowledge in which you are proficient. I do not know it as well as you. I have a certain knowledge, the intricacies and the wisdoms of the workings of Allah Ta'ala and His creation, which you do not possess and you might not be able to tolerate and be patient upon. Musa alayhi salam begs to stay in his company to learn humility. So he says that as we travel and you notice me doing things, do not ask. I will elaborate later on. As they were traveling along the ocean, they needed to move to a certain place. Some people who had a boat gave them a free ride, knowing Khadir alayhi salam is a pious person of that area. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam notices that after a while he takes an axe and Khadir alayhi salam breaks a plank from that boat, as a Nabi should, to stop evil, reprimands him. These people working hard to earn their living from the sea, giving us a free ride, and you are damaging their boat. Khadir alayhi salam says, did I not tell you, you will not be able to understand what I'm doing. He says, anyway, forgive me, and they carry on. They notice a group of youngsters playing. Khadir alayhi salatu wassalam takes one of them and kills the child. Now, this is not permissible except only with definitive knowledge as per the command. That was Allah's will being implemented as it is with the angel of death by Khadir alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, as he should as a Nabi, reprimands an innocent little child. Says, again, I told you, will not tolerate. They move on further and pass through a city. Its name is given as Antakya, Antioch. The people there were miserly, refused to give them anything to eat, whereas they were hungry. And as they are leaving the city, a wall is about to fall. Sayyidina Khadir alayhi salam straightens it up by gesturing to the wall. Musa alayhi salam, now is tired and hungry, becomes angry also that miserly people did not even do the basic hospitality. You should have at least taken a remuneration for repairing this wall. Sayyidina Khadir alayhi salam said that this is it. I told you, you will not tolerate. And then he goes on to elaborate. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if only Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had exercised more patience, we would have found out more amazing workings of Allah Ta'ala. As they were traveling on that boat, they noticed a bird perch itself and took a few droplets of water in its beak. Khadir alayhi salam said that your knowledge, my knowledge, the knowledge of the entire creation are like these droplets, and all the waters of the ocean is only an example of the infinite knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. He says, anyway, I will now elaborate to you. I damaged that boat. It belonged to very, very poor people who used to ply a hard living from moving people and goods on the waters. I damaged it because just ahead of them was a tyrannical and oppressive king who was usurping every good-looking and perfect boat. So I damaged it so that he would not take it away from them, thinking it to be defective, and the boat was saved again. It apparently seems a difficulty a person goes through, maybe accident, whatever it is. Who knows what greater calamities a person is being saved from? Secondly, that little child, Allah Ta'ala had commanded me to do that, knowing that his parents were pious people, but they had profound love for this child. Had he grown up, he would have been disobedience to Allah, and he would have compelled his parents in their love for him to go the same route. So Allah Ta'ala willed that he takes the life of this innocent child who has no accountability, and in place of this child Allah will replace with a much better one. Allah Ta'ala granted them a daughter thereafter, in whose lineage was many Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam. So sometimes a loss occurs. In Allah's infinite wisdom, we don't even realize it. Allah replaces it with something that comes with immense and great benefits. Important is, under the situation, to turn to Allah Ta'ala fervently. Hazrat Murashaf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah says, any apparent difficulty in which a person gets closer to Allah than he was before that was actually Allah Ta'ala's mercy upon that person. And the third scenario, straightening the wall in the city where people did not feed us. So actually, just beneath that wall that was about to crumble was a huge treasure. It is another discussion completely, that there were golden tablets in which were inscribed golden advices. But had that wall crumbled at the time, that wall and what was beneath it, actually young orphan children in the city, had it fallen at that time, their relatives, them being orphan children, unable to protect their wealth, would have usurped that valuable treasure of theirs. Allah Ta'ala will that I straighten that wall. When they would grow up to be adults and protect their wealth, Allah will make it known to them and they would retrieve the treasure. And here, important lesson, Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. The father of these children was a very pious man. So piety benefits one's family, one's offspring, even in this worldly life, over and above the benefits of the akhirah, because of the piety of their father. And some commentators even say Allah was referring to a seventh generation great-great-grandfather. His piety benefited in this world seven generations. So Allah Ta'ala protected their wealth. So sometimes what seems to be an apparent difficulty, goodness comes out of it. As Allah says in the Quran, many a times you like something, you wish it to happen, Allah knows it is not good for you. Many a times a situation comes, you despise, you dislike it, but Allah Ta'ala knows there is immense goodness in it for you. So Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of a strong connection of Allah Ta'ala. We beg Allah protection from calamities, but to grant us shukr under good situations, to be resilient and steadfast and gain closer to Allah Ta'ala. We are weak, Allah should not test us, but if it does come, to remain steadfast. Allah Ta'ala give me all of us tawfiq, inshaAllah Ta'ala. So reminder, the importance of reading Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ahs on a daily basis, for to memorize or to read regularly the first and last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf. Great protection from Dajjal and the trials that would emanate from him. Announcement that once again, our Jumu'ah collection today is the normal weekly collection towards the masjid. But also, we will see there are posters on the outside, alhamdulillah, a drive to put new musallas, inshallah, in the masjid. The samples of it as well. Great opportunity that we contribute towards that. We know on a musalla, a person performs salah, dhikr, tasbih. Especially, we may be in our qabrs, we had contributed to this, and the rewards will accrue to us. So inshallah, let us donate as generously. There is a separate collection. The collection for today is the normal weekly collection to contribute towards the musallas, inshallah. There are details on the posters on the outside, either by EFT or as well as by means of cash donations to any of the officials and representatives of the GMA, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, was salatu was salamu ala habibina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du fa ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqullaha azza wa jalla fi sirri wal alan, fa inna allaha yuhibbul muttaqeen, wa man yattaqillaha yaj'al lahu makhrajan wa yarzuqhu min haythu la yahtasib. Ayyuhal muslimun, falnashkurillaha azza wa jalla على جميع نعمه التي لا تعد ولا تحصى ومن أهمها الإيمان والإسلام واليقين بأوامر الله عز وجل وأن قضاء وأمر كل شيء من الله عز وجل مملوء بحكمته وعلمه وقدرته الكاملة كما نستفيد من قصة سيدنا موسى وخضر عليهما السلام المذكورة في سورة الكهف قال الله عز وجل في بداية القصة وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا. وقد فصل سيدنا خضر عليه الصلاة والسلام حكم الله عز وجل في أحكامه وقضائه وأوامره، سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن أمره كله له خير، إن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته ضراء فصبر فكان خيرا له، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا لمؤمن، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنهم وعن الصحابة كلهم أجمعين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر المجاهدين والمستضعفين والمظلومين في سبيلك في كل مكان، وخاصة في غزة وفلسطين عامة، والشام والعراق والهند وكشمير وتركستان والتركية والبرما والسودان وفي مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم فرج عن كربهم وعن كرب المسلمين، اللهم أطعم المسلمين من جوع وآمنهم من خوف، اللهم اجعل هذا البلد وسائر بلاد المسلمين آمنة مطمئنة. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين، اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين، وحرر المسجد الأقصى بقدرتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ردنا ورد جميع المسلمين إلى دينك ردا جميلا. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أتموا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل. Fill in the gaps between the shoulders. Fill in the gaps in the safs in front of us. Once we're in the saf, stand as close as possible, locking our shoulders so that when the salah commences, there are no gaps between our shoulders. Ensure that the heels are in a straight line. Standing as close as possible in salah, leaving no gaps between ourselves, ensuring that the heels in a straight line is a means of unity in the ummah, protection from shaitan. اتموا الصلاة صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنا نتوب إليك من المعاصي كلها. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر، ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال، ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من المأثم والمغرم. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا واغفر لهم وارحمهم وسكنهم في الجنة. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. جزا الله عنا سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.